Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak on those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we do say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. 9:30 this morning, and I want to remind you that the East Abbotville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431, will come together. During the first 45 minutes, we will have a Bible study period. Then, at approximately 10:30, we will engage in worship unto God according to what we find given as far as commandments and examples in the New Testament. We will sing, we will pray, we will hear a lesson from God's Word. Because it is the first day of the week, we will remember the Lord in His death, burial, and resurrection by observing the Lord's Supper. And as churches were commanded in the first century, we will, upon the first day of the week as Christians, lay by in store as God has prospered us. We urge you to come to be with us. We will not ask you to give a dime. You're not a member at the East Abbotville Church, and that's the only ones that are required at that moment to give. So don't bring the billfold. Bring only your Bible and study with us. Also, tonight at 5 o'clock, we will come together again for a period of worship. And we do, on Wednesday night, a Bible study at 7 o'clock. We urge you to keep these times in mind, and if it at all possible, come and be with us. You would be an honored guest. Also tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, there is a 30-minute live call-in radio program, Bible Crossfire. It's a program that Pat Donahue will give you his phone number, and you can call that number, speak to him directly, give him your Bible question, and expect in return a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA. If you're unable to pick up this station at 8 o'clock then and have satellite radio capability, then at 8 o'clock, turn to channel 131, and again, you can have opportunity to listen to Bible Crossfire. We want you to also know that if it's just absolutely impossible for you to come to the services at the building of the East Abbotville Church of Christ, then at the times that have been designated, 9:30 Sunday morning, 5 Sunday evening, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday, you can log on to eastabbotville.org. And from the church's website, you can see and hear the Bible study or the worship services that are being conducted. If you are a Facebook participant, go to the church's Facebook page. If you are familiar with YouTube, the church has a YouTube channel. So at 9:30 Sunday morning, 5 Sunday afternoon, and 7 on Wednesday, you can both see and hear the services, whether it be Bible study or the worship period, at the East Abbotville Church of Christ. So keep this in mind. You know, if you talk to or if you have heard the statement, "I'm looking for a church that," generally people sometimes when they know or they find out that I am a preacher, they will make that statement. And of course they will finish it with whatever it is that they're looking for in a church. But you know, when you think about it, that statement conveys the idea that church is all about me, and yet the inspired apostle writes in Galatians 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." See, looking for a church, I'm sorry to say, but I think it's nevertheless true, that in looking for a church, some people approach it kind of like they're going shopping. Shopping for a dress or shopping to buy a car. But looking for a church ought not to be like any of that. But as I've said, so sad, too many people do. Sometimes people finish that statement with like this: "I'm looking for a church that isn't so dogmatic." And what they mean by dogmatic is that they're looking for a church that doesn't insist on a thing to be a certain way. That's what basically the word dogmatic means. You see, many people think of religion, of all things, ought not to be dogmatic. When you say that we insist upon book, chapter, and verse at the East Abbeville Church of Christ, some people say, "Well, you know, that's just too dogmatic." Or if you say that we insist on a "thus saith the Lord," again, too, for some people, that's being dogmatic. But, you know, it's okay to have dogmatic opinions when it comes to politics. And it's okay to have dogmatic opinions, certainly when it comes to sports. But, you know, can't have dogmatic things in religion. What does God have to say about being dogmatic about the things that we teach? Well, in 2 John, beginning, no chapters, but beginning in verse 9 and reading through verse 11, here's what we read. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." You know, if verse is saying, if you don't have the right doctrine, you are not right with God. Let's look at another verse to see what God says about being dogmatic. Acts 20 and verse 27, Paul said to the elders that had met him from Ephesus, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You know, there are many preachers that just simply cannot, in all truthfulness, make that claim. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, beginning our reading with verse 1. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." See, this describes the situation. People do not want to endure sound doctrine, and so their ears itch to hear other things. And there's always somebody in the form of a preacher that can be found that will tickle those itching ears. Another verse, Galatians 1, verse 8. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Doesn't this verse teach us that God's word is not negotiable. We can't negotiate with God, much less with what God says. Then too, let's look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, having looked at these verses, can we not see that God has to say that, yes, we have to be absolute. We have to have it only a certain way whenever it comes to his word. So that statement, I'm looking for a church that isn't dogmatic, is truly, as we said, a statement that reflects the idea that people think church is all about them. But then too, we may hear this statement. I'm looking for a church that is not so judgmental. You know, I read the results of a poll, and it showed that 60% of people will leave the church that they grew up in. And it said that of that 60%, 1 out of 4 gave the reason for why they left was that the church was judgmental. What does God say about being judgmental? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. And that's the verse that many people run to show that here you're not supposed to judge other people. Some sincerely believe that this verse forbids all judging. But it's verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 that explains what verse 1 means. And that's an important lesson we need to always apply when it comes to our studying the Bible, the study of God's Word. Keep things within their context. Don't just pull one verse out of the context and make it stand by itself. And that's the problem here with Matthew 7 and verse 1. More times than not, that's all you will ever hear quoted from Matthew 7. But again, let's look at verses 2 through 5, because they explain what verse 1 means. Jesus says, beginning with verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, is that saying that we are forbidden to do any kind of judgment? No, because Jesus is talking about specifically one kind of judgment that we're not to be guilty of: hypocritical government. Governing, judging according to that is what Jesus is talking about. And he refers to them in verse 5, hypocrites. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So he's not saying don't, you know, just let your brother go, leave him be. He's saying make sure that what you're condemning him in, you're not guilty yourself. That's what Matthew 7 verse 1 is teaching. Quite different from what most people would have you to think that, and what they think that it believes. But let's look too at Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? What Jesus is saying here is judgment has to be made. It has to be made in regard to knowing and being aware of false prophets, of false teachers. That's a responsibility that is clearly laid upon us, is to beware, to know what to do in order to see through that sheep clothing and realize that here is a person who is a false teacher. Judgment has to be made, or else. Let's look at John 7, verse 24. Do not judge, but what it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. See, why don't people that text Matthew 7 and verse 1 and say that all judging is condemned, why don't they take John 7 and read verse 24 when Jesus says, judge. Judge with righteous judgment. See, our judging must be righteous. And what's righteous? Well, all of God's commandments are righteous. Psalm 119, verse 172. So, our judging must be righteous in that it must be based on God's word being the standard. Not my personal opinion, not what my likes or my dislikes are. That's the wrong kind of judgment, and that's the judgment that will condemn us. But judge righteous judgment. So does this verse sound like Jesus is forbidding any and all judging? Really? No. Also, Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, from this verse we learn judgment is required. How else are we going to determine if and when a brother is in sin, whether he has committed a trespass? Because we have a responsibility to go to that brother and do what we can in efforts to restore that brother. So we must judge him to be in sin or not in sin. Judgment is required. And one other one, Acts 2, verse 37. When those on the day of Pentecost heard Peter's sermon, here's what reaction we see from him. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, Peter's sermon convinced many of them of their sins. But you know, that kind of preaching that Peter did there on the day of Pentecost, to some folks, if a preacher preaches and he reproves and he rebukes sin, then he's being judgmental. Because we're all guilty of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And to be told that we're sinners is not particularly pleasant, is it? But what do people want? People want to feel good. People want to feel good about themselves. So if you're going to preach on sin, and specifically certain types of sin of which people may be guilty of, then they're not going to leave very happy. And it's those kind of people that are looking for that church that is not so judgmental. Sometimes another statement in connection with this is made when it goes like this. I'm looking for a church that doesn't have too many rules. Now, what if one day the law changes so that traffic lights are whatever we want them to be? Go on red, stop on green. Whatever we happen to decide at that moment that we come upon one. See, do we not see and do we not realize that even though we don't like rules, it's absolutely necessary that we have them? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Let's read him from the New King James. The King James says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What's that verse say? Fear God and keep the rules. Not my rules, not your rules, but God's rules. My rules, I may make into commandments, but those become commandments of men. And you know what Jesus said about the commandments of men, don't we, in Matthew 15? If we worship God according to the doctrines and the commandments of men, our worship is vain. So we're dealing with God's commandments, God's rules. God's commands are for our good. Some think that God is awful, that He only makes rules to nail us. But in John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I fear that many of us do not look upon the commandments of God as an indicator of the love that we have for Christ. And yet that's exactly what Christ says. If you love me, keep my commandments. James tells us in James 1, verse 22, beginning, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You know, there's some people that would argue that the Pharisees were making too many rules on this occasion, and that Jesus is rebuking them for being legalist. I'm sure you've heard that word. But friends, if that be true, then it's mighty odd for Jesus to say, these you ought to have done. One other one, 1 John 2, beginning with verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. One thing we must understand, the only way we can be in His love is to keep His rules, keep His commandments. And then sometimes you hear people say, well, I'm looking for a church that's not so old-fashioned. Some are quick to remind us that the Old Testament is 2,000 years old, and therefore something that old has to be out of date, it has to be out of step with the times, it has to be of no possible benefit to us today in our modern society. But you know, we still have the need to drink water like they did at the dawn of creation. We still have the need to eat food like they did at the dawn of creation. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. I'm looking for a church. Well, mark it on the calendar. As soon as someone says that statement, church is not about God. Church is about you. It's about yourself. But yet, the truth in the matter is, we're here to obey God, fear God, and keep His commandments, like we read there just a moment ago in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. My living in this world is not about my will. It's about my doing God's will. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus said, I will profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity. Or as one translation puts it, lawlessness. Friends, we must do the will of God. And that applies no more so than when it comes to the church of which we need to be a member of. We are a member of that church because Christ came and built his church, Matthew 16, 18. He promised that he would build it, and in Acts 2, we see the fulfillment of it being built, because it's there in Acts 2 in verse 41, as well as in verse 47, we see that those that heard Peter's sermon and responded to that sermon exactly in answer to what Peter gave them to do, the Lord gave them the remission, the forgiveness of their sins, and the Lord added them to the church. From Matthew 16:18 to Acts 2, the church is in the future to the church is in existence. And what we need to do today, in order to be added to the church by the Lord, the one that Jesus built, the one that he purchased with his own blood, and therefore it is every right to be called the church of Christ, meaning it belongs to Christ. He built it, he shed his blood for it, and God in Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, gave him head over all things to the church. Friends, we must want, we need to want to be a member of that church, the church that Christ built. And if we'll follow exactly what they did there in Acts 2, or in any other case of conversion that we read about in the book of Acts, we can and will be added to that church. We must believe. That was the whole purpose of preaching. That was the purpose of Peter's preaching there in Acts 2. There were those there that were guilty of crucifying Christ because they had earlier believed that he was a deceiver. They believed that he was a blasphemer. They believed everything but the fact that he was the Son of God. But through the evidence that Peter gave them, through the teaching that he gave, they were able to see that this Jesus, as Peter said, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter in Acts 2, verse 38 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added them unto the church, in verse 47. Friends, let's look for the church that Christ built. Let's look for the church of which Christ is the head. Let's look for the church that is made up of people that are determined to do things according to God's will, that do insist upon that book, chapter, and verse, that do insist upon that thus saith the Lord. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.